when it comes to best ball, it's all about how you build those teams. Whether you're building structurally, whether you try to build them unique, it all matters. We're going to get into all that tonight. Myself and Eric Byrne for Spike Week, talking all things DraftKings. Let's get into it. Eric, great to have you back on the show. I mean, this is our time of year. How you doing?
I am doing wonderful. You're absolutely right. This is our time of year. It's funny exactly that you lead in with that, because, you know, the season, everybody, you know, if you play DFS, or like, of course, when the season starts, we all get excited. But our real Super Bowl is like the NFL draft, and right after the NFL draft, because it's like, you know, these tournaments are coming. You get so excited to dive into the new ones. And then, of course, DraftKings specifically, which is what we'll talk about, you know, here today, the product keeps getting better. There's more and more contest offerings constantly. And so I love that. I love that from Tyler, Sanctuary Spike. I'm super pumped. I'm really excited to dive in again, specifically to DraftKings here, because I think it's, everybody loves underdog. There's, and nobody is saying anything negative about any of our other sites, but I think DraftKings, from an advantage that people like us and the folks watching this and listening to this have, I think it's a pretty substantial edge we can gain.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at what DraftKings have rolled out. The $8 contest, it's 50% full already. It's only 8,000 total seats, 150 max enter. That was a contest I wanted to dive into quite heavily, but I'm just not going to have had the time. I might get to 20 entries on it. So, but yeah, in terms of the draft, we will get into one in a few minutes. But first, I just wanted to talk about DraftKings. And for people who are a little less familiar, if you had to give people drafting on DraftKings for the first time this year, or who are feeling a bit rusty and need that kind of refresher, what's like the top piece of advice you would give to them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, I don't mean this as a cop out, but if you've played any form of fantasy football at all, like even your season long home leagues, or if you've dabbled in the best ball spaces, you've played on underdogs, you played on drafters or FFPC, or you used to play MFL 10s, right? You've played all of this different stuff. One of the big things that I do constantly try to tell people, it's like DraftKings best ball is so different, and not like from a scoring or like how they set up their, right? They don't do anything crazy. They use their traditional DFS scoring, so that's a little different, but it's at the end of the day, you know, Puka Nacua was really valuable on every site. Kyren Williams was really valuable on every site. The hits are the hits. There are minor differences we can do on DraftKings, again, around some of their scoring, the fact that it's 20 rounds and all of that. But the most important thing, 100% to me, is these drafts can be very much like the Wild West, and you are going to get more fluctuation in where players get drafted, how your opponents construct teams, you know, just basic things that we probably take for granted in terms of stacking and, you know, when to take certain players depending upon, right? If I take Christian McCaffrey, now what do I do with my running backs later? Our opponents on DraftKings, generally speaking, are not thinking about a lot of these things. They are going and getting their guys. They don't, you know, you're going to see 4 and 5 quarterback teams and 4 and 5 tight end teams. And you're going to see guys start with 6 running backs in a row, which, you know, if you played best ball a bunch, and not, no offense to the running back folks, it can be tough to build a good team that way. And so I just try to be really, the biggest thing that I do in DraftKings is really try to be cognizant of kind of reading each room and treating each room that I'm in very, very differently. And so, because sometimes you're going to get values that you would never get in another draft. And it could be because maybe the people in that room just don't like that player, or because 4 guys in your room have 3 quarterbacks through 5 rounds, you know? And it's like, you got to be willing to adapt within those rooms. And then specifically, I mentioned the quarterback thing. I think being very cognizant of things like your quarterbacks, we talk about on underdog, getting locked out, if you will, of wide receiver. It can happen a lot because underdog people love their wide receivers. DraftKings people love their quarterbacks. So you can vary, and they don't get, you took Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. If that guy wants Tua, he's going to take Tua. It doesn't matter. And so being very cognizant of those little things, and being willing to be like, in a different draft or in your home league, you may say, I can push, you know, I can try to be a little bit risky, say with a quarterback. if he's your guy and you set up your team to take that player, I think DraftKings is a little bit of a different ground in terms of just some little micro things like that.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm going to kind of piggyback off that in a second. But first, if it's the first time you found us on the Fantasy Sanctuary, hit that subscribe button. We are 65 subscribers away from 2,000. Been a big offseason, and it's only going to get bigger. Best ball streams, underdog every Monday, DraftKings every Wednesday, all the way up until kickoff. So the point, like, I kind of stress to people when we talk about DraftKings is I don't think wide receiver is, you know, it doesn't dry up quite as fast as it does on underdog. But for me, I still kind of focus a lot on the wide receiver position. You go back to last year, there were 72 running backs who had 100-yard games. And on DraftKings, that's going to get you a three-point bonus. There were 162 wide receivers who had 100-yard games. And you think about it, it's like, okay, well, in the NFL, there are more wide receivers on the field, so there's more chance that they are going to get to that. We also start more wide receivers on DraftKings than we do running backs. You can start up to four wide receivers in a lineup when you include your flex, because you start three plus the flex. But you're never going to get to more than three running backs. So, yeah, I always want to leave a draft with at least eight wide receivers, even if I've started with five in the first five picks. Look back at the teams that did well in last year's final. 71% of the teams who were actually in last year's DK final had at least eight wide receivers. At least 40% of the teams had an eight wide receiver build. So, yeah, everybody goes crazy on underdog and the wide receivers disappear really quickly. But I think as long as you're cognizant of the wide receivers on DraftKings, you can build differently. I mean, in 2022, the teams that made the final, 7% of them were robust RB builds, which is something, which, you know, you and me, we do that for a laugh. We do that to try and be different, to do something different. But the key thing for those robust RB teams, all 7% of those teams that were in the, like, 1,000-person final that year, they all still had five wide receivers before they got to round 10. So I think it's like, as long as you're cognizant of the fact that you're going to have to start three, possibly four of these every week, there's still going to be room for you to build differently. That's kind of the one that I would hit on. Do you find yourself still building heavily through wide receivers in these DraftKings rooms and leaning into those zero RB builds? Or are you a bit more flexible here than underdog?
So yes to both, actually. I'm definitely going to be more open to taking what we would call a detour, right? Basically away from the wide receiver position. I think at the end of the day, no matter what site you're playing, no matter really what form of fantasy that you're playing, I guess Superflex could be a little bit different. But the basis of your team is actually, we used to think about it because we named all these strategies around running back, but really what they are is around the wide receiver position, because it is the position that has the least potential to find, not even just from a season-long perspective, it's definitely from a season-long perspective, but from even like an individual week perspective. You mentioned the 100-yard games or what, you know, where I come from, not just 100-yard games, but spike weeks, right? Big performances relative to the position in any given week. It is so much harder to find those later in the draft at wide receiver. Outliers exist. That's how the world works. Puka Nacua and Tank Dell happen. Right? Justin Jefferson many moons ago goes late in drafts, and it does happen. But generally speaking, you're not going to find a lot of those guys. And so maybe even on that team, you get one, right? That's still only one spot that Puka Nacua was able to fill in your starting lineup. And like you said, you need four. You need three wide receivers and a flex. The scoring is also such that it is better. Again, you outlined the 100-yard thing. That's like one way to summarize how much more powerful wide receivers can be. And generally that, what'd you say, 162 100-yard games from wide receivers are going to come from the best wide receivers. Like Van Jefferson is not going into that number, right? Like, you know, no offense to, I mean, I don't even like hate Jacoby Myers, but like the Jacoby Myers and the Van Jeffersons and the Devontae Parkers and stuff, they don't fit that number. But a lot of the times drafters will default to those guys to be like, well, I'm just going to draft 10 wide receivers. And if I fill it with Devontae Parker and stuff, he'll get me there. But what you really need is the big games. And from a wide receiver perspective, they generally come from the best wide receivers in the league. Sometimes the best wide receivers are Puka Nacua, who go later. But that is a very, very rare thing. Where at running back, Kyren Williams, also an outlier. But we get many more of those. And they specifically can happen in really small time pockets, which are also valuable in best ball, right? Starting running back goes down. I always like to use Zeke when he was, well, he's back on the Cowboys now, but Zeke when he was on the Cowboys with Tony Pollard behind him, it was like, Tony Pollard might get me a score that's okay when Zeke is there. He scores a touchdown or something. But when Zeke is out, Tony Pollard is a top five running back in all of fantasy. And so even if it's only for a game, right, if it's in week 17, last year, Raheem Mostert is out in week 17. So Achane is now a top five running back in fantasy, and he basically produced as such in week 17. The power of that in best ball, even if it's small time pockets or one game from the running back position, I can get those huge games from even running backs like that we don't love, right? I mean, Gus Edwards had one. Right? Nobody loves Gus Edwards, but when you get all the work and you're the lead back for even 1 week in an offense at the running back position, you can have those. So it's kind of blending together all of those different things to where I still want to win the wide receiver position on DraftKings, and that in turn will help me win the flex position. And then look, if the running back hits my flex because I got three that scored 30, awesome. Like I can still benefit from that. But generally speaking, I want to win it with these high powered wide receivers. And so that's kind of the focus of every single draft, even though I know I can take a little bit, you know, look, if there's a running back that you really, really love and he falls in the fourth round or the third round, by all means, you can do that on DraftKings more easily than the other sites. But I still want to just keep the core of my wide receivers are going to win this thing for me, both because of the scoring, because I got 20 rounds, so maybe I got more, you know, and because the market has gotten smarter on the best guys are at the top.
Yeah, and I think like when you've played a lot of DFS, you become very much like aware of the free square, we call it, when a running back becomes available because of the injuries ahead of them, and they're priced up at like 4,400 on DraftKings, and everybody plays them, and the whole week is spent debating, is it bad chalk? Is it good chalk? They're going to get 20 touches and all that. And yeah, if you can take that mindset to some of your picks and say, okay, if this player is the RB1 that week, are they capable of 20 touches? And if so, that's all I really need to know. They're a good pick. They'll be fine for 1 week. But let's get into a draft. So we will go with DraftKings Millie Maker. Eric, have you dived into many of these yet?
Yeah, I think I got 12 done. So I'm sure you've already said this to your folks. The pretty nice promo that DraftKings is doing in the month of May. If you haven't done any, you sign up and do one Millie Maker draft, they give you a free entry. So if you just want to do that, spend $20 and you get a free one. That's fun. That sounds great to me. But I believe it's up to 25. Somebody can correct me. Up to 25. You can correct me. Up to 25. Yeah, that's right. For every five in May, you get a free one, right? So draft 25, get five for free. And so that's my general plan. So I'm on a nice pace to get there, but still trying to save plenty for later in the summer, but also take advantage of six freebies. Who doesn't want, you know, $123?
Yeah, and I think what we saw from DraftKings last year was that they're aware of what they need to do to try and push people into the draft rooms. They might not go insane to the point they did the first year where they gave tickets away for free constantly. But if you take the five freebies through that, and then if you take the offer of your second one going to be free, okay, well, you've got $120 worth of entries into a contest for free already. So it's definitely going to be worthwhile and worth tracking. And DraftKings say they've got more tournaments which are coming out soon, but they're going to keep going with these kind of different ones. So I would imagine we start seeing some free maxes soon and similar.
Yeah.
So we're going to be picking from the 106. Have you found a particular spot in the first round that you're feel is the cutoff of where you enjoy being at?
I particularly like, I think top six is pretty close to where I particularly like. I don't have like a lot of negative sentiment around, say, Puka Nacua, and speaking specifically about wide receivers. I don't have, like, I'm not down on Puka Nacua or AJ Brown or Garrett Wilson or Marvin Harrison necessarily like a ton. But I think, I mean, if we talk about Justin Jefferson, maybe the best wide receiver in all of the NFL, is like a break point in the first round. I think from him on forward with the wide receivers, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb are kind of in a class of their own amongst those other guys. So if I can get anywhere above there, I like that. And then, you know, if you do prefer running backs, you have your pick of the litter. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is probably not available at the 106, but you might have your pick of the litter of Breece Hall or Bijan Robinson as well there. So I really do. This is kind of rare, actually, where the middle of the first round still feels cozy to me, but I do feel that way.
Yeah, I think for me, at the minute, the turn, the 112-2-1, feels like a position where I'm just using it to get a little different, where it's like, you know, just relaxing and saying, okay, well, right now I'm not sure exactly which of these players I feel like I have the most conviction on. So I'm just taking some different combinations, seeing what shakes out. We're already seeing Drake London squeezing close at the first round since drafts were released. Marvin Harrison's crept up from that sort of like middle of the second round towards the turn. So yeah, I think it's a good time to be flexible, try and get a little bit of exposure to different people and just kind of basically crack on with it. So the draft's getting underway in a second. You can see I've got Eric Spike Week overlay here. I haven't done very many drafts in here, so it's going to take a little time to populate it out. But Eric, in terms of other things apart from the overlay, anything coming which people should know about before we get to our pick?
Oh, we did just put out something cool and new that is free for anybody, and there's a little upgrade if you are a premium user. And I know the folks of subscribers to your stuff are get 40% off of that. But you can track like what tournaments you want to play in, how many entries you want to put into all these tournaments, how many you have left to draft, how much money is that, how many do you need to draft per day, right? If you're going to reach, I want to do 200 drafts this summer and I want to do, you know, XYZ. Yeah, I'm happy with Amon-Ra for me here personally.
Cool. Carry on, man.
Yeah. But so it's a pretty cool little kind of like a planner, if you will. It's something that we've been pushing a little bit more heavily on. We're definitely in a wide receiver room here, by the way.
Yeah, this is a friends and family draft.
Definitely, definitely.
A good bunch of our people in here.
But obviously, if you're watching this in May, you're probably into this game that we're playing, just like Tom and I are. And so I find over the course of the last couple of years, you mentioned DraftKings is going to come out with more. Underdog's already got more tournaments out than they've ever had. Drafters already has two different tournaments out. FFP, right? So we've got all of those kind of tournaments preloaded in there and the ability for you to go in and say like, okay, I want to do one, I want to draft all 150 in the DraftKings Millie. And then maybe I want to do the 20 max. And maybe I want to do this. Like the next thing you know, you're at like 250 drafts and we only have a few months to do this. So it can help you kind of map out, plan out, you can move things around, right? It's not set in stone. That I thought was just a cool little thing, and it's free for, so you don't have to sign up. But if you do sign up, as you load your stuff into like the Draft Hacker overlays that Tom has on his screen, it'll auto update for you. So, right. So your completed drafts, you don't have to go in and every time I do a draft, I change my little sheet or whatever. It preloads it for you. So just a little nice little extra boost thing to help you map out your summer.
And I think that kind of stuff, the more best ball expands, the more important it is. You know, like last year was something I kept talking about people. It was like, look, if you've only got a few hundred dollars, pick your tournaments really sensibly. Or you know, if you just want to draft in the cheapest and enjoy it. I know Pete's got a video coming out about that. We're one pick away. Drake London's one pick from us. Devontae Adams, Kyren Williams, Chris Olave, Devon Achan, obviously starting with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Anybody kind of stick out at ADP? Drake London does go one pick before us.
I think Drake London would have been fun just for, you mentioned the unique combos kind of thing, probably not often available at that spot, but it's Devontae Adams for me. It's wide receiver for me here. And Devontae's at the top of my list.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Keel points out Josh Allen going two, three even, I mean, this is DraftKings, isn't it? It's a little higher than I've seen Josh Allen go so far. But if we don't see two quarterbacks taken on the same team within four rounds, then it's always slightly surprising at this point. With Devontae Adams, how are you kind of feeling about the Raiders in general? Are you taking Devontae Adams and stacking him with Minshew or Aiden O'Connell? Or are you just quite content to just take him naked and try and shoot for a quarterback with higher upside?
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. And I do that a lot. I think that's maybe one of the more underutilized strategies. I think people feel once I've clicked a receiver or even a player onto my team, a non-quarterback onto my team, you feel like I need to get the quarterback too. And the quarterback is quarterback T-O-O, not the quarterback too, like maybe Justin Fields. But the that's great. But the quarterback is the least important part of like a stack. Especially the pocket passers with not a lot of upside like a Minshew. The perk is, though, that it can be a fallback option. Like if you run into you know, problems later on. We get into this room and everybody's sucking up all the quarterbacks. You do have that late round fallback option where maybe people aren't so excited to draft Gardner Minshew, but I'm just a little more bullish than the market is on the Raiders. I think I understand Devontae Adams getting a little older, had a bit of a down season last year, but from a weekly upside perspective, I don't really think anything has changed about Devontae Adams. And we're not playing for, like, I don't need Devontae Adams to be the wide receiver one. I don't need him to like pay off his draft costs. I need him to not fail, which he didn't even really particularly fail last year. And then he was actually the guy in week 17, if anybody recalls, that absolutely blew up and made people millions of dollars if you happen to have him with CeeDee Lamb instead of one of the more popular options.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in redraft, he'll probably be a bit of a pain at times, but for best ball, he's 100%. Shown he can do it, and it really, I have no worries about it. So, I mean, we've started wide receiver, next in ADP, Devon Achane's falling slightly down 7 picks past ADP already. Stefon Diggs kind of fallen a few as well. And then Travis Kelce, who's up by 6 spots in the last few days. You can see that from the spike week overlay here, as well as Sam Laporta. They're just screaming up the draft boards. So it just, I was comfortable taking Travis Kelce where he was, but this feels a little early. Anybody you want to bang the table for, particularly here, I feel like it's wide receiver or tight end.
It's wide receiver or tight end for me. My guy here actually is Malik Nabers is my top wide receiver on the board here. I also feel like when you take Devontae Adams, I don't want to pile on too many 30 plus year old wide receivers in all my top picks. And those are kind of the guys. And I don't necessarily have a problem with Stefon Diggs. I do prefer the other Texans wide receivers, Nico Collins and Tank Dell to Steph Diggs, especially at cost. But Nabers is just that cozy guy for me that people are holding the Giants situation against him. And I certainly understand that to a certain degree. I don't have a lot of confidence in Daniel Jones either, but this is a Giants team that 2 years ago was quite good on offense with far less talent than Malik Nabers brings to the table. I know Saquon's gone, but I think he's a good football player. I don't really think the downgrade from Saquon to Devin Singletary is like changing anyone's life in the NFL. You put Malik Nabers in there, if he's a star, and even if he's just okay, he's going to be force-fed so many targets in a Brian Daboll offense that's been a selling point for us since he took the Giants job. And it feels like some of that shine has worn off because of one bad season. And we have a top 10 pick who's like, by all means, intents and purposes, a superstar prospect in the third round, sometimes falling even much further than that in DraftKings drafts. And so I'm just gobbling that up every time.
Yeah, I'll come back to that in a second. But shout out to Purple Yosh saying he just officially finished law school. Supposed to be working, but joining us instead. Appreciate that. That's what we like around here. But yeah, Malik Nabers, it's like, it's just one of those situations where people are double counting how bad the Giants could be. But let's remember, not last season, but the season before. It was like Richie James was incredibly fantasy relevant at points because Daniel Jones will just pepper those easy targets at times. And if you're telling me that Daniel Jones isn't going to be able to just get the ball to Malik Nabers, who's then going to be able to be more explosive than Richie James or is it Isaiah Hodgins, then
yep.
I mean,
Darius Slayton had big games down the stretch with Tyrod throwing him the ball. I mean, I think Malik Nabers will be all right.
Yeah, so we are a couple of picks away. Derrick Henry falling past ADP in this room. We'd be 9 picks past ADP at the top of our list. Travis Etienne, Lamar Jackson, Trey McBride, Pacheco, Tank Dell. I've been taking a bit of Pacheco in this spot, but I mean, I don't really hate anyone. I'd also be open to T. Higgins, who I think is going to climb up a bit. Or do you want to make a case?
Tank, T, Lamar, McBride. I don't have a mega strong preference. I do love Lamar. I know I don't have to tell you about Lamar Jackson, but it would be Tank T and McBride also.
Let's go McBride. I feel like out of the streams we've done so far in the last week, I've done at least 2 Lamar teams, and people are going to start getting on me pretty soon if I don't diversify slightly. But Trey McBride is somebody who just feels like a really easy click for me. People talk about, okay, well, is he going to have a really good season like he did last year with Marvin Harrison there? And for me, it's just a rising tide lifts all boats. A better offense is going to be better for everyone involved. And if you don't think an offense can support a wide receiver one and a tight end one, then you've probably not been paying much attention over the last few years. And Trey McBride did everything he did with getting like 3 touchdowns last year. Whereas I look at Sam LaPorta and think he could have touchdown regression. Trey McBride could have positive touchdown regression and easily be the tight end one overall. I haven't taken as much of him as I would like yet. And that's definitely something that I plan on correcting over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I love McBride, especially at that price. That, I mean, as the tight end four, even, no, I mean, Dalton Kincaid, I understand, and he has Josh Allen, but Trey McBride at that price behind three other tight ends feels really good to me. And it's another, you mentioned kind of the double counting of the Giants offense. That's how I feel about anyone knocking Trey McBride for Marvin Harrison. It's like, well, Sam LaPorta has Amon-Ra St. Brown. For many years, Travis Kelce had Tyreek Hill. Like, the tight ends, like, we want them on good offenses. Sure, we want volume, but we need them to score touchdowns, you know? And Trey McBride, as awesome as he was, as you mentioned, was kind of held back by his offense. So he loses a target per game projection because Marvin Harrison is there. If the offense is better with Marvin Harrison, that's going to far outweigh, especially in those big game scenarios, because he's still going to have big volume games. And now if they're scoring 35 points in those games instead of 17 as an offense, that's just even better for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kyle Pitts goes off. I've noticed him creeping up draft boards. People seem to be slowly coming around. We are one pick away. Travis Etienne and Isaiah Pacheco keep falling. This room, it's definitely a wide receiver heavy room. Do you want to take either one of those running backs, or do you want to push on? Christian Kirk would have been the guy I was about to try selling, or Joe Mixon possibly, or Anthony Richardson.
I'm actually pretty into George Pickens here.
Okay,
I've been taking quite a bit of Pickens. If you're down for that, and I can kind of give a spiel, because I see you got zero of my guy Pickens. I'm not sure if you're aware, but he has that dog in him. I don't know if you've seen, but we've been told he has that dog in him. So that should boost him. You need to have more than 0% of somebody that gets the X-ray and he's got the pit bull or whatever in his chest.
George Pickens is absolutely a player that, like, he's somebody I do not want to have less than 8% of when the cards turn over in September. He's somebody that, depending on the builds and depending on the players around him at every time, I always feel like I need to put quite a bit of thought into wherever I want him, because I don't want him as my wide receiver 3. I want him at least as my wide receiver 4, because we've seen that he can go missing. We know his Steelers offense, particularly with Arthur Smith involved, could be a bit of a wild card depending on which quarterback is there at times. So, yeah, I mean, the ceiling on George Pickens is absolutely massive, and I think he's an incredibly fun player. I think in redraft, he's not somebody I'd click. In Dynasty, he has the whole cult of George Pickens around him, so much so that his value is always a little bit higher than I think it is. Yeah. But in the fifth round here, when you're starting to get towards these wide receivers with question marks, I have no problem with it. And then Isaiah Pacheco did go off one pick after us, and then Travis Etienne getting a little bit of running back run. Once we've made a pick, I want to come back to the running back position, though, because it does feel like an interesting spot. I need to sort my rankings out, because somehow Roma Dunze has landed at number 53, and that is not where I'm taking.
I think Roma I have Dunze him around currently. 80. Yeah, I think I have Roma around 80.
Yeah,
which is maybe, maybe a touch aggressive on the negative side, but still, I think it's closer to that than...
If you're one of our members, check the Best Ball Survival Kit rankings, because I have made sure that he is down around the 70 mark or so. Anthony Richardson, it would be my pick here.
I'm in for that.
Past ADP. I think that's an absolute smash. So just going back slightly, where do you think the running back dead zone currently is? I know this room's a little bit different because we're all just going wide receiver crazy. But traditionally, you'd talk about being round 3 to 6. On underdog things, wide receivers being pushed up, perhaps it goes round 3 to 7 these days. But here, do you think that we're in there when we get into round 3, or do you think Jacobs and Achan aren't belonging to the dead zone as it would be?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think my answer is definitely going to be a lot earlier, I think, than most people. I think you could make a case after the first round. The dead zone, actually, I think you can make that case, but let's even throw that little more aggressive take to the side. I think whether you include Achan or not is kind of where the cutoff is. I'm lower than the market on HN, and it's strictly just a cost scenario type of a thing. I don't want to, you know, go on this HN rant, but I think he's a polarizing player that he would be like my line of delineation. You either include him like ahead of that dead zone, you know, mark, or you put him kind of at the very beginning of the dead zone, just because, you know, he's awesome. He's going to be good. Yeah, I expect him to have a good season, but also like, they still brought back and extended Raheem Mostert. They drafted Jalen Wright.
Traded up to get him.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think there's just a little bit more of an issue with Achane than maybe the market is considering. But he's awesome. He's on the Dolphins, so I'm not going to like really nitpick him. But like they're after him is where I would honestly kind of consider the new dead zone, as you mentioned. Like Josh Jacobs has some efficiency concerns. He's be going there because of projected volume. And they drafted Marshawn Lloyd pretty early and brought back AJ Dillon, who stinks. But like Rashad White, Derrick Henry doesn't catch passes, is old, and we're just expecting, I guess, a bunch of work on the Ravens and touchdowns, which I probably expect. But like this happens all the time. These guys just, you know, age catches up and our volume expectations don't match. So I think it's somewhere in that third round for me.
Yeah, I think Achane, if he enters into more of a timeshare, it might actually be good for him not having to, you know, he missed That's eight true. Games last year. I had like eight games under 20% of snaps. So we're back on the clock. We've got Kyler Murray, which should give us the stack with Trey McBride if we wanted to double tap quarterback. But otherwise, it's like Calvin Ridley, Aaron Jones, Zamir White, Brian Thomas, who's creeping up the draft board slowly, or down to sort of likes of Jordan Love, James Conner, Deontay Johnson. We've got 8 seconds.
I think I would just take Kyler. Let's just close it out. I don't love, and this is probably another DraftKings specific thing. Like if this were an underdog draft, I'd feel pretty darn uncomfortable with around 6 and 7 quarterback. But again, because of what it is going to do, like there are running backs I like here. There are wide receivers I like here. Tight end also, like we talk about wide receiver, tight end dries up really, really fast, which is good for us because we have Trey McBride. But I would feel pretty uncomfortable dedicating both of those picks on underdog to the quarterback position. But we're seeing a pretty heavy quarterback run here as it is. And then we know how DraftKings rooms can be. And it's like a kind of a pocket of the draft where honestly, I mean, like if you like Brian Thomas, fine. If you like, you know, I do like Zamir White. If you like Calvin Ridley, like look at the wide receivers. Calvin Ridley, Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins. There's a pretty big tier gap down from there. I would have pushed for Rashi, actually, probably, if he was on the board. I understand all the legal issues, but just in round baseball, seven. Like, yeah, it's round seven. If he gets suspended, we got other wide receivers to carry us for a few weeks and get him back. But I think it's the Kyler pick was a pretty DraftKings specific pick.
Yeah. And I think what you said about tight ends really good, because like I've found that if I don't have a tight end by the time round 10 rocks around, suddenly you're staring at guys like Luke Musgrave and Cole Kmet, Cole Kmet now has Gerald Everett competing for touches. Yes, it's probably going to be a better offense in general. You look at Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft is absolutely going to make a bigger leap and play more after playing like 30% of snaps week 1 to 11 last year. So it definitely, I found myself really wanting to try and make sure I've got at least one tight end in the first 10 rounds without reaching. We are two picks away. We've got our two quarterbacks in Kyler and Anthony Richardson, Trey McBride, our tight end, and then Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devontae Adams, Malik Nabers, and George Pickens. In terms of what we're seeing at the top of the draft board, if we did want another wide receiver, it's kind of Jackson Smith and Jigba, Curtis Samuel, little bit of a reach territory. Or we could look at getting our first running back. We have James Conner, Raheem Mostert, Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren. I would probably plump for either James Conner or Jaylen Warren if you want to go running back.
I would prefer Warren. I know we have, as you see, James Conner lighting up in green on your screen, the beauty of the draft hacker. I don't even have to think about the fact that we have Cardinals on the team. I'd push for Jaylen Warren. I just have some concerns about James Conner in this range with the fact that they drafted Trey Benson. I think James Conner has been I've been wrong for years in a row about him, like, you know, not a super explosive runner, getting older, hurt a lot. And then he just keeps putting me in the grave every single year because he just keeps scoring fantasy points. But I think we haven't had this situation where the team spent a bunch of draft capital on the kind of next running back of the future in Trey Benson that can really pilfer away some of the stuff that James Conner, like, he needs the volume, right? And I don't want to have concerns about him getting the volume, particularly in this range where, like, this is why I love more than the wide receiver stuff, more than anything else, this range of the why I'm so passionate about zero running back this year is because we can get here. And you have, if you like James Conner, you know, DeAndre Swift just went off the board. Zamir White just went off the board. Zach Moss, Aaron Jones, David Montgomery, right? Both the Pittsburgh Steelers backs. If you, I like, I'm drafting Najee as well. Don't tell anybody that, but I'm drafting Najee as well. You know, Mostert scored 20 touchdowns last year, 20. And he's going in this range of the draft. I understand he's old. I understand all, like, I understand why, but I'm like, yeah, but like, what if he's just Mostert again and I can get him in the eighth or ninth round, right? And on down this list, man, there's so many running backs in this range that are such good picks to me. And so that's where I'm living with a lot of my running back exposure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I really like James Conner. He's a player I've been high on at certain points, but Trey Benson, 20 picks later, just feels like a good deal to me. I saw some of the clips that Coach Speak Index put out on Twitter of the Cardinals talking about why they selected him and how explosive they think he is for a player of his size. That really stood out. So I'm very much down with that. So we are one pick away. Wide receivers very much dried up. We could go Mike Williams, Jameson Williams, Romeo Dubs, Khalil Shakir, Cortland Sutton, or take A.D. Mitchell at a bit of a reach for Anthony Richardson stack, or we could play that another round and see how it goes. Running back, all those guys we kind of liked. I've been drafting plenty of Brian Robinson. For me, Jonathan Brooks feels like an okay pick. I'm not really in on Austin Ekeler, but if you want to twist my arm, I'm
absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know me well enough to know that. I think I would take Trey Benson on this team. I really, really like, I see your Brian Robinson exposure. I totally agree with that. I love him at this price. He's a little like the younger James Conner, where I know he hasn't been quite as good as James Conner, but like, he's been a pretty solid enough NFL running back. All they did was bring in an old pass catcher in Austin Ekeler. Like, no offense. I mean, and maybe Ekeler bounces back. It's certainly within the range of outcomes, but that's not generally how football works. You don't kind of fall off a cliff and then get back at an older age, even when it's injury related stuff. And if there's anything, look, Cliff Kingsbury is not somebody I really want to tie my, you know, life to. But if there's anything he does, his running backs score fantasy points. They score fantasy Absolutely. Points. The offense should be better. That offense looks pretty solid to me with Jaden Daniels in there. And so Brian Robinson just feels like we're just like disrespecting Brian Robinson. And all he does is put up quality fantasy points for the cost. So I'm drafting a bunch of him as well. I do just think defaulting to Trey Benson specifically on this team was probably the right move. We're making this nice Cardinals bet on a zero running back team. He's a good fit.
Yeah, and I think it was Pat Gray mentioned it during his rookie profiles, but Jaden Daniels isn't the type of runner to score a lot of touchdowns in the red zone. So that feels much more like a Brian Robinson job than an Austin Ekeler job to me. I don't think we're going to see a lot of checkdowns to the point where Austin Ekeler is going to be relevant. But Deft Angel saying, do we want to swap Steelers running backs to Najee Harris just after us? I mean, like you, Eric, I'm drafting Najee Harris this year. I think that the value's kind of hit a point where I can take him. I know what his role is going to be, and I can take him at cost, but I'm still taking Jalen Warren ahead of him. But if Najee falls into the ninth round, I'm kind of fine with it. We are a few picks away. Obviously, we're kind of done at quarterback. A.D. Mitchell did go. I've got in my rankings Josh Downs pretty high up. Bad. Yep, so 117. So we could take A.D. Mitchell if you like, or do you want to look at a different player?
I'm comfortable with A.D. Mitchell. My only thing I would say is, do you think that there's a running back here that won't get back to us that you love? Or are you comfortable continuing to push that?
Well, I mean, like let's go with Brian Robinson, and then let's take either Josh Downs or A.D. Mitchell, maybe. Yep. I think that's probably the sensible choice, given how, yeah, we started.
And we had this is something nice on DraftKings that we can do where I do think there are going to be some wide receivers in these later rounds that will actually pop for us a little bit more than they will on an underdog. I mean, you see, like, I don't particularly like Tyler Lockett, but Tyler Lockett at the 10-8, right? Like Cortland Sutton in round 10, Rashid Shaheed in round 10, all the Bills guys going here in round 9, round 10 that are not, it's not like huge discounts, but just like you bump these guys, a lot of these guys down a round or two rounds on DraftKings, and it allows you to be like, I really want Brian Robinson. He's a really good fit on this team. Let's add him on and then just push it a little bit more than we might on another site.
Yeah. You can see on here on the right, one of the things I love about the Spike Week tools, no matter which screen you're on, you've got the team stacks there. As soon as we get to those week 17 ones, they'll be populated on there. Big fan of everything, all the work Eric and his team are doing at Spike Week. If you want 40% off those tools, hit the join button down below. Cost you $5.99 a month to access all that, all my best ball rankings, all Rich's dynasty rankings, and get you about 40% off code. It is going to make your summer and your drafts even more optimal. So we're sat with a 2-3-4-1 so far. This draft room has been fairly reasonable. I mean, we were definitely out in front of the second quarterbacks. There's no teams with three quarterbacks in here, no teams with four quarterbacks in here. There seems to be plenty of smart people drafting with us tonight. But we're a few picks away. Jared Goff at the top. Obviously, we don't need a third quarterback here, but we could have stacked him with A.D. Mitchell, which is why he's highlighting in green, thanks to the Spike Week overlay. And then it is A.D. Mitchell. Josh Downs a little bit further down. But running back, Tajay Spears, Zeke Elliott, who is climbing slightly from his 136 ADP. He's going to keep going, I would imagine, slightly. Blake Corum, Jerome Ford, Zach Charbonnet, Rico Dowdle, and then J.K. Dobbins, who I haven't even brought myself to draft yet. Eric, anyone you like particularly?
I think I would take... I think I kind of prefer Josh Downs a tick over A.D. Mitchell, but if we wanted both, I think it would have made... You know, we could have played... We could have tried to play that game if we really wanted to take in, I believe AD's ADP is a little bit higher. So, but also there's no reason that he also couldn't fall. Although there is a guy here I see at the 11-12 turn with a Colts avatar. So maybe those guys wouldn't have made it back to us.
Well, that was part of my thinking. Keel at 112, one of our YouTube members and a very smart guy. He's a Colts fan, and ultimately, it came down to me there, which player do I feel better about? And I think Josh Downs is going to put up more consistent usage. And we were still looking for that fifth wide receiver. I think if we were looking for wide receiver 6 or 7, A.D. Mitchell kind of fits the bill a little more for me, because I think he's going to be quite boom bust. But yeah, if A.D. Mitchell made it back, maybe that would be a little bit overkill for Anthony Richardson stacks, but I wouldn't hate it. But yeah, we are a few picks away. Keel at the 112, who's got a 2-4-5-0 so far. Garrett Wilson, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Reed, James Cook, Christian Watson, Aaron Jones, Jameson Williams, Rashid Shaheed, and Jared Goff, building it out quite nicely. Bindle's in the chat saying Downs greater than Mitchell. I mean, yep. A.D. Mitchell, learn Alec Pierce role, buddy. And that feels like what it could be, but with a little bit more ceiling. I do like the potential upside of A.D. Mitchell as he goes off the board to Keel in a complete shocker. How do you feel about Justin Herbert? I mean, obviously, we're not going to draft him. You can come back to that in a minute if you like after we take our pick in one. We have got Zeke at the top of ADP falling slightly, Jerome Ford, Zach Charbonnet, Rico Dowdle, Jahan Dotson, Xavier Leggett. Anyone you feel particularly strong about? We could look at a second tight end if you wanted, but maybe not quite yet.
I actually like Zeke. Another thing, we're touting Najee Harris and Zeke and all these guys. So we're going to have to take this video down after it's over. But I think he's sort of like, yeah, exactly. 4 years ago, I'm saying you can't draft Zeke when he's on the Cowboys, you know, close to his prime. Now he's completely dust, not good at football anymore. And I'm like, I kind of like him. But I think, again, it's like in this range of the draft, we can say whatever we want about Ezekiel Elliott. The Cowboys don't have a running back besides him and Rico Dowdle. Rico Dowdle, the case for Rico Dowdle would be that Zeke sucks, which seems fine, except that Rico Dowdle also sucks. And so, like, you're not really gaining anything in that argument with that. And we can hate Zeke all we want, but it reminds me of the James Conner thing, although Conner was certainly much better than Zeke is at this age. But just, like, if the NFL team likes him, it doesn't really matter. And he's on the Cowboys. He is still a good pass catcher. Not like dynamic after the catch, but he's going to be in the right place. He's going to catch the checkdowns from Dak, and they're probably going to trust him to protect Dak and get, you know, the 1 yard carries from the goal line. And so we can hate him. You're not going to get 100-yard games from him probably ever, but I think he's going to score some fantasy points, and particularly on a zero running back team. Like, if I took two early running backs, I have no interest in Ezekiel Elliott. But when you have a team like this, I think he fits.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to make that point in terms of when you look at our running backs, Jalen Warren, Trey Benson, Brian Robson, a bit of projectable volume is absolutely fine in this case. So we are a few picks away, sitting with a 2-4-5-1. Jerome Ford, Xavier Leggett, J.K. Dobbins, Luke Musgrave, and then Deshaun Watson, no interest to us. Jalen Wright, Adam Thielen, Quentin Johnston, Darnell Mooney. Gosh. It gets pretty thin pretty fast. I think, like, this is my point about, like, if you didn't take tight ends early, now you're looking really thin. I could be talked into kind of Xavier Leggett, I guess, but I don't really have a strong feel here. Maybe Michael Wilson, but that's a little bit of a reach.
I was going to float Jalen Polk, actually. I'm pretty into the Patriots wide receivers, both him and Javon Baker. I'm doing a lot of on teams like this, trying to see if I can pair both of those guys. You don't have to draft Drake May. This is kind of the Gardner Minshew thing that we talked about before. Like, we don't need, like, if Drake May succeeds, we can still win a lot of money with this. We have Anthony Richardson and we have Kyler Murray. We don't need Drake May. But if Drake May succeeds, he has two rookie wide receivers, Jalen Polk, who went in the second round, and Javon Baker, who I actually like more than Jalen Polk as a football player, that are going to be elevated on a team where we could use just a little bit of extra juice, right, at the wide receiver position. And nobody really wants these guys. I mean, I'm saying that, and Polk, we took him in the 13th, you know, he goes 13th, 14th round. But given the wide receiver climate, we have two rookie wide receivers. Every rookie wide receiver with a pulse gets pushed up, and they have one of the clearest paths to playing time and targets of any rookie wide receivers in the league, sans Harrison and Neighbors and stuff. They have a clearer path than Rome Odunze does to targets. And, like, nobody really wants these guys. So they've been kind of a pillar of my early drafts when I'm drafting wide receivers, you know, here between 150 and 190.
Yeah, and I think their players were really going to, by the time that these games matter for us in best ball, the best ball playoffs are really going to have plenty of opportunities. So I'm definitely fine with that. Dorito in the chat saying, I dare say this might be the shortest DK ever. Well, this is the unofficial home of DraftKings best ball in Europe. We are trying to bring better DraftKings rooms to everyone, and we will keep doing that. We are two picks away, and we have 2-4-6-1 currently. Xavier Leggett does make it back around 20 picks past ADP. There's two tight ends towards the top who I've been taking a little bit of, Kate Otten and Hunter Henry, and then down to Jermaine Burton on the Bengals there, or you could go a little more to, like, the likes of Isaiah Likely, Malachi Corley, Chuba Hubbard. For me, I would lean towards Hunter Henry. I don't know about you.
I'm totally comfortable with Hunter Henry. He makes sense with the Patriots thing we were just talking. I'm mentioning the wide receiver thing, but Hunter Henry might project for the most targets on the Patriots. And you mentioned how thin it gets at tight end. That is a huge perk for him. He's never going to be an absolute superstar. But look at the QB difference. Like, even if Drake May fails, they have Jacoby Brissett to fall back on. And that gives a pretty nice floor of quarterback play for someone like Hunter Henry. So he's probably at the top of my list of the later round tight ends. I like Ben Sinnott, but that's a little bit more of kind of, you know, the rookie and young player thing goes from, like, a totally stable, I feel awesome about this guy as my tight end too. I think Hunter Henry is probably my favorite option.
Yeah, Ben Sinnott's a player who I've kind of had a little bit of a tough time with, but I think I'm going to have to get on board because plenty of sharp people like yourself, Crane, Overzet seem to be in on him, and that's not a train which I completely want to miss if he's going to get steamed up. But, like, Ben Sinnott for me, I look at the Commanders offensive line and I worry about that. He's a very good blocker, and I just worry that that's where he might end up being required to do a lot of work. And if Jaden Daniels has the ball, is he going to check down too close to the line of scrimmage? But at the same time, there's plenty to like about Sinnott, and maybe I just need to get over it and get on board before we're talking round 12 tight end, because that gap between Pat Freiermuth and then Ben Sinnott, somebody is going to creep up into this 12th or 13th round very soon, and I won't be surprised if it is very soon. We've got two Patriots players. Would you be taking Drake May on a team with Anthony Richardson and Kyler Murray, or are you just happy to let the chips fall how they are? Yeah, yep. That's how I go. In terms of our team, we've got four running backs. We've got six wide receivers. J.M. Wright at the top, Chuba Hubbard, Demario Douglas, Khalil Herbert. Maybe hope he gets traded. In terms of wide receivers,
I would take Jalen Wright here. I would take Jalen Wright here. I understand, again, all the concerns, but also they specifically targeted this guy. We were drafting three Dolphins running backs last year, right? Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and Achan. Jalen Wright is extremely explosive. You want to talk about a good fit for the Dolphins offense. He's a great fit. this actually came up in conversation today in the Spike Week Discord. I think something that's being overlooked a little bit, he's an excellent pass blocker, pass protector, which is I'm admittedly very biased towards that. I probably talk about it too much, honestly, but it's a big deal for me with my running backs because that's what can get you on the field. It can get you on the field, period. Ask Samaje Perine. The guy's robbed a bunch of NFL franchises of millions of dollars because he's out there to pass protect. But it gets you out there on the field, especially as a younger player. Why does Kyren never leave the field? It's because he pass protects and he catches the ball. I think they could see him working into that role and then just being an explosive running back on the Dolphins. You know, who knows? Mostert and Achane, not exactly the picture of health in front of him. So I think that he has some utility. He's probably going a little bit too high, like at his normal ADP, but we just got him three rounds after where he goes. So I like him. I like him quite a bit.
Yeah. And then after that, you get into the questionable quarterback range, Deshaun Watson going off. It really does seem like people don't want to have to concern themselves with him this year. Bryce Young, I feel kind of better about Bryce Young in some ways than Deshaun Watson, even though I know he doesn't have the ceiling. I think there's a better likelihood he probably plays all 17 games. Which of the Steelers quarterbacks have you been taking if you've been stacking either of them with George Pickens?
Fields. I actually want to be overweight Fields and never take Russ. And I'm comfortable if he never plays a game. I get it. That sucks. It's not going to be fun. But I think, as you said, especially right now, there's so much uncertainty about, like, if we knew right now Justin Fields was the starter week one, he would be going so much higher than this. And so I'm willing to take that gamble.
Yeah. We are back on the clock. Chuba Hubbard, Isaiah Likely, Khalil Herbert, Jonnu Smith. We could probably do with a wide,
Yeah, what's wide receiver look like?
Zay Jones, Devontae Walker, Odell Beckham, Javon Baker. Do you want to take Javon Baker and really push this kind of non-Pats QB stack? I mean, I would imagine that Drake May now falls a decent bit, but we've got Polk, Henry, and Javon Baker. If the Patriots somehow look their way into having a really nice Week 17 game at the same time as Kyler Murray or Anthony Richardson goes off, then we've got access to two really nice stacks. And hey, perhaps one of those teams ends up playing one of our quarterbacks and gives us access to a really nice stack. I just want to go back to your point about Justin Fields. If we knew he was going to start Week 1, how high would you draft him? Would you be going up to this kind of 12th round range? Or do you think he'd settle just behind like Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford? Because, we know that Arthur Smith can design a running game and would probably be okay for Fields, but there's still the other question marks.
Oh, that is a good... So definitely in front of... Probably, more in that 11th, in that Jaden Daniels, Goff... I don't really love Kirk Cousins in the 11th, but in the Jaden Daniels, Goff, I would definitely take him ahead of Aldis Pocket. Baker, right? That whole 12th round is the pocket passer, little pocket there. Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers. I just, even with the concerns that Justin Fields has, we know what he can do for fantasy. And quite frankly, as sketchy of a guy as Arthur Smith is and how little faith we have in him, he designs efficient offenses. He definitely designs efficient running games. And Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder have been useful fantasy assets on the Atlanta Falcons. For as bad as they are, they're not NFL caliber starting quarterbacks, right? And they've been useful for fantasy. What can Justin Fields do in that situation if he were to earn the job? A lot more, I would say.
Well, you even go back to Tennessee, and Ryan Tannehill had some of his most useful fantasy years when Arthur Smith was there. You know, he was getting those goal line touchdowns and rushing in around the red zone a bit more. So Arthur Smith was a complete scourge of our lives for the last couple of years, but now that he's not a head coach, it feels slightly easier. We are about to be back on the clock with 2572. In terms of tight end, it is Jonnu Smith, Noah Fant, Jatavion Sanders, Michael Mayer, Tucker Kraft, and then the dart throws. Running back, J.K. Dobbins, Tyrone Tracy, who's sneaking up. We could get him a bit past ADP. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is 50 picks past ADP at the minute.
I really don't like it, but I mean, if we're ever going to take it, I think that this is probably the time to do it. And we're drafting on your account, so I can direct people to you when J.K. Dobbins fails. But he's such a tough, he's got to be one of the toughest clicks for me, because if you legitimately removed the injury stuff, clearly, he's clearly much better than this. And he was one of my highest owned players last year. I think my highest owned running back last year. And so trust me, I am a J.K. Dobbins fan. The problem is you don't get to remove things, right? It's like when we do from week 14 on, he was the wide receiver, six in fantasy. It's like, yeah, but there were 13 games before week 14 that do matter. And it's like, the injury thing is a big deal. It's a huge deal. Not just one injury, multiple injuries. He's getting older. My favorite thing that I like to use when people like J.K. Dobbins is he went and visited the Chiefs. Right? The Chiefs clearly in need of running backs behind Isaiah Pacheco. He went and visited the Chiefs in Kansas City and left without a contract. And the next day they re-signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who we know to be awful at football. So what does that say? That the Super Bowl, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions said, no, we're just going to roll, run it back with CEH and undrafted rookies behind him. So it's tough.
Yeah,
it's
tough. I mean, As a Ravens fan, I'd said to myself, you've been hurt too many times by J.K. Dobbins and being 20%+ exposure to him. And I didn't plan on clicking him at ADP a single time this summer, but 50 picks past ADP, I would take practically anyone unless he is injured in ACL or in Achilles or something whilst we've been on here tonight. I can't understand how... Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you just got to scoop some value and hope that
in the tier, gives
a...
Right?
A couple of weeks, yeah.
When he's going up by Ray Davis and Kendre and Ty Chandler and all that kind of stuff, it's like, I just prefer those guys. But when he's going next to Tyrone Tracy and Jaleel McLaughlin and stuff, it's definitely a different conversation.
Yeah, so we are two picks away. Wide receiver, DJ Chark, Malik Washington, Darius Slayton, Brandon Rice, Zay Jones, Treylon Burks, Noah Brown, Justin Watson, who's climbing up slightly with Rashee Rice, getting himself into more bother. Running back, Roshan Johnson, who's fallen past ADP by 20 slots. Noah Fant would be the tight end I'd be looking at here. Is that all right with you, Eric, or anyone else?
I would keep this to a two tight end team. I would take Malik Washington here.
Okay. You've been taking a lot of Washington?
Oh, yeah. I still love him. He was my guy. I've made it. If anybody follows anything that I do, that was my pre-draft rookie wide receiver. That's my favorite in this class, like relative to cost. My actual favorites are the Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers, like everybody else. But I just think he's a good football player. Using the same Dolphins logic of they wanted this guy. I don't know if you saw the clip that went around Twitter when they drafted Malik Washington of Mike McDaniel is fist bumping. And then they call Malik Washington and Mike McDaniel says, I've been trying to tell our GM to take you for like multiple rounds now. And this is all total narrative based. At the end of the day, they didn't take him in the fourth round, but I think Mike McDaniel wanted Malik Washington. He's also like the perfect fit. They were playing Braxton Berrios and River Craycraft and those guys in the slot. He is a full-time, he's a slot-only type player that is like also a yak player, right? Get the ball, let Tua get the ball out, put it in his hands, and let him run with it. He had the most yak in the entire, in all of NCAA last year at the wide receiver position. And so but behind Tyreek and Waddle, there are targets. Like it was just spread out amongst like six guys last year. And so I'm willing to take the shots on the rookie or Jonnu, honestly, in some drafts at tight end, I'm willing to take those shots. But I would like to stick this team if I'm drafting by myself, I would stick this team with two tight ends and load up a little bit here because we did at wide receiver and running back, because obviously we waited on running back, but we also are like really good with our first four wide receivers. And then it's like a not totally amazing. So I would like the volume there.
So at wide receiver, we could go Chark, Slayton, Zay Jones, Treylon Burks, Josh Reynolds. You know,
nothing super. What's running back look like?
Roshan Johnson, who is now 30 picks past ADP. We could really scoop some value there. Elijah Mitchell. Roshan?
I'm fine with Roshan, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk about the range of outcomes. If Khalil Herbert ends up getting traded and that becomes a two-backfield in Chicago, I'd be pretty happy with that. And I'd rather have Roshan Johnson over Khalil Herbert right now. In terms of what you were talking about with the two tight ends, yeah, I think sometimes it's more a default for me to end up on three tight end builds on DraftKings. But I love what you're saying about how we are quite thin with some of that. You know, the top tier is really good. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devontae Adams, Malik Nabers, Trey McBride, George Pickens. And then the double tap at quarterback of Anthony Richardson and Kyler Murray, it definitely left us chasing a position slightly. So then we went Jaylen Warren, Trey Benson, Brian Robinson. And the next wide receiver we've got is Josh Downs, then Zeke Elliott, Polk, Hunter Henry, Wright, Baker, J.K. Dobbins, Malik Washington, and Roshan Johnson. But the other reason I was completely fine taking Malik Washington, where you mentioned it, is we've built ourselves a bit of an AFC East correlation here. We've got, what is it, five players from between the Patriots and the Dolphins. And if that gives us a Week 17 matchup, if the Dolphins are involved, then anything can kind of happen. I think we know enough about that. And the Patriots, they've got to be more fun. I appreciate this is probably at least the second year in a row I've been saying the Patriots are going to be more fun on offense this year. But sooner or later, I've got to be right at some point.
Martingale, baby. We're just going to martingale it for the next 5 years on this show. This is the Patriots. This is the year.
So we've got a 2.782 build at the minute. So in terms of wide receiver, I mean, we can really scroll down. We've got players like Jamari Frash, Juju Smith-Schuster. Nobody's drafting him. Nelson Agholor, who popped up for a few weeks. KJ Osborne, that might be going a little too heavy on them. Jacob Cowing, Michael Gallup, who signed with the Raiders.
I like the Cowing exposure I see here on the screen. I think that's fun. I would put Cowing, yeah, he's interesting. Not a lot here. I don't know if he's gone, and I'm gonna spoil it. But what I will say about this pick, it doesn't have to be a wide receiver. I think it's flexible between running back and wide receiver. But the point why I say between either of those is like the idea of winning that flex, like we talked about earlier. I don't want to take a tight end because the third tight end doesn't inherently mean you can't win the flex with them. But these specific tight ends that we're taking in the 20th round are probably that way. Is Evan Hull on the board?
Ooh, nice shout. He is not
gone. Son of a somebody. I knew it. I knew we couldn't sneak him past.
Yeah, he went.
But I'm cool taking Jacob Cowing if that's what you want to do.
I think like I'm just kind of backs.
Drake May's going to go undrafted, by the way.
Yeah. Do you want to do May or should we stick
stick with the wide receiver.
Jacob Cowing. Yeah, where did Hull go then? Evan Hull went 19-3, which, yeah, that's kind of a range. I've taken him a couple of times. I think when I put my rankings together and uploaded into Fantasy Pros, he wasn't even in the top 300 there. But for me, you know, he's 250 kind of player who you can throw in and take dice rolls with. But so let me recap our draft for anyone listening on audio. Amon-Ra St. Brown in the first round, Devontae Adams, Malik Nabers, Trey McBride, George Pickens, Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray to give us that Cardinals stack with Jaylen Warren and then Trey Benson adding out that Cardinals stack. Brian Robinson Jr., Josh Downs giving us a little skinny stack with the Colts, Zeke Elliott, Polk, Hunter Henry, Wright, Baker, Dobbins, Washington, Roshan Johnson, and Jacob Cowing. So, I mean, this kind of draft, it ticked a lot of boxes for me in terms of, you know, we scooped some, 80 picks of value combined between J.K. Dobbins and Roshan Johnson. I mean, that's a lot. We've got the quarterback stacked who have huge weekly upside, tight end with massive weekly upside, and the wide receiver room feels pretty good on the whole. So, yeah, I feel quite good about that. How about you, Eric? Any points in the draft where you think we could have gone a different way and ended up with a better team?
Probably not with a better team, because we kind of talked about the Kyler pick, or I guess if we could have removed Richardson and gone, Ladd or Godwin or something like that. But I don't think that substantially changes this team. I think that would be the only spot where I would say, okay, maybe we could have done that differently. But I really like this team. It fits, like you said, it checks a lot of the boxes that I'm trying to get in my drafts. I mentioned I'm really into the zero running back thing, and I think this draft did a good job of showing why, starting from Jalen Warren in that tier of running backs, which is just so strong. If you prefer someone else to Jalen Warren, you can pick them too. It doesn't have to be Jalen Warren. The range is so strong there that I'm hammering, just like we did, I think, three in a row. Yeah, Warren, Benson, that's happening in so many of my drafts because that range is so good. And then you can double back and you can do what we did, right? Scoop some fallers. Maybe you don't even love that guy. Like, I don't love J.K. Dobbins, but he's a 14th round pick. You get in the 18th round. You can do that. And then you can take shots at the end on upside guys that fit your team, but also, right, you mentioned the little Dolphins Patriots thing. So now we have Dolph. I know it's not Tyreek and Waddle, but you do have a secondary Dolphins stack. You do have a secondary Patriots stack. So you're able to kind of add on little bets to your team on other NFL teams, and you don't have to go get that quarterback just to make that work.
Yeah, and with that Dolphins Patriots team, we're not looking for all five of those players to hit our starting lineup in week 17. We're looking for Kyler Murray, Trey Benson, Trey McBride to go off, Josh Downs to go off, and then perhaps two of those pieces from New England, Miami game to find their way into the lineup. But we also have a correlation with Jalen Warrens and George Pickens. So this is a nice team to me. I feel pretty happy about it. Got Phil in the chat saying drafting in the seventh spot after you guys wasn't much fun, but I like what he did with his team, his 3-6-8-3 build, which has been the most common team in the finals. I think it's always a fairly balanced way to draft. Nacua, Drake London, Cooper Kupp, Derrick Henry, who slipped past ADP, Pacheco, who I think when all said and done will be at least a round four player, Jordan Addison, Brian Thomas, David Njoku, Jonathan Brooks, Trevor Lawrence, Matthew Stafford, Bo Nix is the late round kind of dart throw. And then Dennis Allen, the Rams tight end, who, if it's not Colby Parkinson, could be good value. Any of the other drafts in this room kind of stand out to you, Eric?
No, I'm noted, not a big Derrick Henry guy, but I like that team quite a bit. I love the Rams bet. I love tossing Corum into there on that little Rams bet. And then I've been doing, when I don't do like we did and I'm pretty locked up at quarterback early, I do like the Broncos thing. I think that we drafted a bunch of Patriots, but the Broncos fit that mold to me as well, where the whole offense is cheap, and every year we keep seeing these cheap offenses pay off in such big ways that they don't have to become elite. They just have to be a little better than what everybody thinks, right? And everybody thinks the Broncos are going to be absolutely putrid. Everybody thinks the Patriots are going to be putrid. So all the players are cheap. But we get good fantasy results from bad offenses all the time. And then if the offense is actually better, right, this is the Patriots year, as you mentioned, or this is the Broncos. Maybe it was Russ. Maybe it was Judy. Maybe it was those guys, and Bo Nix is better than we think. Those offenses, when you stack up a few pieces of them together, like we did with the Patriots and like he did with the Broncos, you can that's how you can just absolutely crush, because they all on the same team exceed so much potential. So I love that for sure.
Cool. So, this draft, it's been a lot of fun. Eric, in terms of what you guys have got coming up at Spike Week, I know once the fixtures are released, it's going to be big for you guys. Anything else coming down the line that people should be checking out?
I'm stealing that. I'm using your English verbiage on the fixtures. When I launch the playoff schedules, that's what I'm gonna call it. But I would say that's for everybody, that's certainly the next big landmark, the next big calendar event is the schedule, which we got to what, the 15th, 17th, something like next week, not this week, which is
next Thursday, I think it is. Yeah.
Which is a little disappointing, but we will have, we have a little cheat sheet that's free for everybody up on the site. It's up there now, but it obviously has last year's playoff schedule on there. That we'll have updated like that night. I'm updating it as the schedule releases on the show and everything. And like I said, totally free. And there'll be a lot of content that we'll be putting out. Like I said, that's the next big landmark, right? So how to utilize the schedule in the playoffs. I think on Underdog specifically, they have tournaments like the Eliminator, where the schedule, not even just the week 17, you know, the playoff schedules are important, but the whole schedule is important for things like the Eliminator. So that's where we'll really be diving in. And all of that stuff that's not free, like the playoff schedule, comes as a part of our NFL Best Ball Almanac, which you can also get, as you see at the bottom of your screen, 40% off. It's not just the tools that you saw today. We have two different products, those tools, the Draft Hacker and Draft IQ. That also comes with like our ownership projections and a couple of other things. And then our almanacs, which is like our draft kits, our draft guides, which Tom and the Sanctuary folks obviously have going as well. So you can get 40% off of those with that promo code. And we'll be continuing to keep rolling with tons of content, which, like I said, the schedule release will be the next big kind of landmark.
Love it. In terms of this channel, next week, we've got Nez from the Badge Bros joining us for an Underdog draft on Monday night. Wednesday, I will be back solo, possibly. Might have a guest roped in. The week after, we have Pat Crane coming on. Going to keep drafting all the way. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Really appreciate everyone who has been here tonight. Been a lot of fun. We have loads more on the channel. Check out Best Ball, How to Dominate Drafts. 5 tips in there, 15 minutes. Going to get you set up to win, and we will be back very soon.